andalatsoratra masiny izay tsojerentsika ilay izy fa ny mpanjaka Davida
He's looking for a weapon.
Ny tady fitaovam-piavidiana izy.
It's time to go and fight a battle.
Satria fotoana andehanana andeha hiady.
And he says there's this phrase the king's business requires haste. We need to be quick when we're on the king's business.
Dia misy afeza teny kely izay tao hoe ny asan'ny mpanjaka dia mila atao mailamailaka na hoe aingana be.
There's an urgency to what God is doing. I would like to say for the matters of the kingdom of God, we can't just have a mura-mura approach. We must move forwards when God says move forwards. And today I'm not going to preach a Mother's Day message. Because we can't wait 1 week. What I need to share with you needs to be said today. You know when it's time to plant? Everyone must plant. You can't wait till the season passes because the seed won't grow. There was a poor man. Now I'm telling you about a real man. Lived in America. And he was uneducated. Very little education. He wasn't a deacon in the church. He had no ordination. In fact, he was a shoe salesman. Like some of those guys you've seen selling shoes on the side of the road. Maybe in a little shop. And he felt God's call. God said, I want you to preach the gospel. He was in a prayer meeting. So he was a Christian, he was following God. And his friend turned to him and said to him, the world has yet to see what God can do. What God will do with someone whose heart is fully consecrated to God. And this shoe salesman's heart was moved. He didn't forget those words. And some time passed. And then he was listening to another great preacher preaching. And he remembered those words. And he looked at the man who was preaching. And he started to think, this is God doing this. That guy who's preaching is just a man. But God is using him. And if God is using him, God can use me. That's what he was thinking. And he committed in his heart. He said, God, send me, God, use me. Now that man is well known today. His name is D.L. Moody. And it's estimated that in his lifetime, he preached to 100 million people. And as many as 1 million were saved. By the power of God and the gospel. Have you asked God what he can do with you? Holy Spirit, won't you put faith in our hearts?
You
see, we're part of a new community.
This
is the church. The new community. It's people of God on a mission with Jesus. That's who you are. You're a son or daughter of God and you're on a mission with Jesus. If you've realized that he can use you. And as I'm thinking about this church and this community, the things that Jesus wants to do with us, the word on my heart for you is there are places to be filled, there are opportunities.
There
are tasks to be carried out. There's an inheritance for you. The Bible says we have an inheritance in the saints, meaning it's in the community of God.
And
the amazing thing I see in the Bible is there seems to be always room for everyone. It starts with a recognition that God has something honorable for you to do. Maybe it costs you everything. Maybe you have to adjust your life. Prioritize your finances. Choose carefully where you work. But when you start to say, God, I want to serve you first, above everything, I want to live my life for you. God brings you into something which will actually give you honor. See, leadership and service in God's house is not without reward.
You
know what happens for most pastors? We end up carrying a heavy load. And normally, you don't get the salary of a CEO in the corporate world. If you want to make money, you got to go do business in the world. And that you can do for the glory of God too. But when you put your hand to serve, put your hand up to serve in God's house, you don't negotiate the salary. You volunteer. You say, here am I, God, use me. Not here am I, God, pay me a certain salary. If I get this, then I will do that. Doesn't work like that.
You say,
God, take the best of me. And we give it to him. But here's the thing. Do you think God is going to be a good employer or a bad employer? Do you think at Judgment Day everyone's going to say, no, we should rather have worked for
Pharaoh?
I would have got more if I worked for Pharaoh. Do you think that'll happen? So when I go to God and I stand before him in heaven, the Bible says he's going to give me a reward. After that, I'm not going to look at that and say, couldn't you have done better, God? Are you poor, God? Was your bank account empty? God, Telma, I should have rather worked for Telma. I assure you, when Christ returns, he returns with his reward for you. And no one who gave themselves wholly to God is going to look and say, oh, I made a mistake. In fact, we who serve God even have a greater reward in this life. There is huge honor in leading something for God. In 2 Samuel,
we
don't have to turn there, but you know the story. It's about David and his mighty men.
Now,
maybe I should show you this. Let's look.
2
Samuel
23.
I love these first two verses. You have to see them. And then we'll read verse 3 and 4.
Andriamanitra ny Israel manao hoe, eny, ny vatolampin' ny Israel miteny amiko hoe, indro ny mpanapaka ny olona, marina izy sady manapaka amin'ny fahatahorana an'Andriamanitra. Ary izany dia toy ny fahazavan'ny maraina, raha miposaka ny masoandro dia ilay maraina tsy misy rahona iny, ary ny ahitra manorobona amin'ny tany noho ny ainandro manarakaraka ny ranonorana.
You see the promise of God in that? He says, when you step up and lead, when you rule justly, so exercise authority for him, he just comes and brings this light and rain and blessing. Then look at verse 5.
Arts to izan indrinda, amnandemanja van ni taranok, fa fanekena mandraxainu naton tamk, fo lam nam zavata reeta, sadi fo tandren, fan fam zenai.
So David's saying, I have set my house in that relationship with God. Meaning I lead and I serve for him. I exercise authority for him. And God has actually brought security and prosperity, help. He's supporting David in David's goals. It's amazing. And then David goes on to talk about the mighty men. And it says there was one who was chief of the three. The chief of the three, because he gave himself wholly to serving God.
And
then there were these three mighty men. And then there was another alongside the three. In 2 Samuel 23:18.
Ary Absay ralany Joab zanak'izeroi no lehibe amin'izy telo lahy ary izy namelo ny telonjato lahy tamin'ny lefina ka nahafaty azy ka dia izy no nalaza tamin'izy telo lahy.
He won a name alongside the three.
Dia tamin'ny izy le hoe ao amin'ny araka amin'ireo anankitelo ireo a nahazo anarana izy, nahazo titre izy.
I get confused with all these numbers. Chief of the 30 alongside the three and chief of the three, and it's like, and when you add it all up, there's even more than you expect. Because later on it says there were
37.
The maths doesn't even work out in this part of the Bible. There were 30 and there were 3, but then there were 37. What I came to understand is there's a place of honor for everyone who deserves honor. You know, sometimes we look at the table and there's the head of the table or the honorable side of the table. And then we think maybe all the chairs are full. The places are full. There's no place for me there. But that's not how God's kingdom works. In God's kingdom, it's like when I, as with my family and friends, we arrive at the restaurant. And they only have up to 4 or 6 seats around a table. But when we walk in, the waiter runs and he starts moving the tables around and he makes it bigger for us. That's how the kingdom of God works. If you say, I'm going to serve you, God, God says, I've got a place for you. With honor and reward. And he will never be found short. In Luke's gospel, there are these servants and they get given these money to work with. And the one gets 10. Another gets 5. So God gives you something to start with. And then when they present what they've done with what they were entrusted with, the master comes back. And he says, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful with the very little, he says to the first one, you shall rule over 10 cities. That represents people and being entrusted with responsibility over lives is way more important than being entrusted with responsibility over money. So there's Bill Gates, chairman of Microsoft.
Yes, and lebe an Microsoft.
One of the richest men in the world.
Anisanyula manakarene ndinde tombuntani.
He's still entrusted with the very little.
Tembula wele keli ndinda yanzano apatukisana nazi.
Money.
Satile vula.
He's doing a good job.
Tena mahavita tsara mintsy izy amin'iny a.
He's being faithful with the little.
Tena mahatoky amin'ilay kely izy.
But if you really get promoted, you get people to look after.
Fareva tena hoe mahazo fisandratana ianao dia olona mintsy no andraiketanao.
Who here leads a small group, a home group in the church?
Izy aminareo eto no mitarika vondrombavaka atao amin'ny fiangonana.
There's a guy.
You, Miss Rangari.
There's another one at the back of
Riku,
the room.
Anakrai.
They've been entrusted with some people to lead. They have been given the honor to involve themselves in someone's lives. Very small cities. But cities, they've been given the reward of exercising God's leadership in the lives of others.
When
I was giving up a career in the marketplace to become a pastor, expecting my salary to go down to maybe half or a quarter, one of the leaders I respect and admire in the church, he said to me, if God has called you to be a shepherd, don't stoop to be a king. Embrace being a shepherd, the high calling. Don't bend down to the low calling of being a king. You get kings in the world, kings in the marketplace. People with power because they got money. But God offers you something on an entirely different level. The opportunity to care for His people. The second guy came to Jesus saying, with the five I had, I made five more. And the master says, here, have five cities. Where does God come up with that? All these cities, He just pulls another five out of His pocket.
Five
cities. See, the picture here is where whatever it is, God will never be lacking in the ability to give you promotion, to give you honor, to give you reward.
Some
of you sitting here, you don't know, but you're playing a long game, and you should be playing a long game, a game that lasts over the years of your life. Somehow Jesus always has a promotion ready when the time is right. Why don't we lead? Why do we hang back? You get a fear of taking responsibility. Because maybe there's a fear of failure, fear of messing up.
Or maybe
because you think there's no opportunity.
I
remember talking to my brother who's an accountant.
And
he used to work for one of these big international accounting firms. Do you know some of those, like KPMG or Deloitte? I don't know which ones you have here. What accounting firms do we have in Madagascar that you know? Deloitte, you know Deloitte. It's a big company. So if you working as a junior in Deloitte, you're just an accountant. If you're hoping for promotion. There's quite a lot of promotions possible. But probably within 10 years, you're under the senior partners of the firm. And they have a finite number of partners. Fixed number of partners on that board. So if you're waiting for a promotion, you're basically waiting for one of them to die. And some of you have that view of the church. Some of you think about the church like that. You see the church as a static thing. It's not changing. So why have any spiritual ambition? Just leave it to them. It'll always be them and I'll always be here.
But
you don't have to wait for me to die to take my place. Because God will just open up a door for you when you are eager to serve Him.
I
want guys to want to lead things. And if you
want
to lead a church, let us help you get ready and we'll plant you out and support you.
How
big is an elders team in the Bible? How big does the Bible say an elders team is?
There's
no limit. Every time we see another leader, we bring another chair. Let God stir your heart to serve Him because there will always be room for you. You think, I'm not good enough, I'll mess up. Well, this is where you need to look more closely at the type of community we are. We love one another. We mess up happily together. The microphone power supply blows up. I don't blame the sound guy. I love the sound guy. I blame Jerama. we don't blame each other, we blame someone outside. We celebrate our successes and we cover over our failures. We have incredible people in this church. If you were here yesterday for the marriage input, you could have tasted Yari's names. You need to learn what that sentence means. You could have tasted Yari's names. Sambos.
Sambos.
Little chicken fillets with crumbs on.
See,
we have a sound guy, and he comes out here to set up the equipment on Friday night sometimes. The school which we love had moved it all away, and he has to put it all back again. You think it doesn't take faith to do that? It takes huge faith.
Because
to get back home alive at 9:45 at night, it tests your faith. But our sound guy does it because he's willing to die. He's willing to die for his service for the church.
I don't know
if I want that headline, sound guy martyred for the cause, you know. But he does what's required and then he figures out how to get home safely. There are people in the church that are helping us with the administration of the tea and coffee stock.
It's
Yanji and Ravaka, and they're doing a fine job. He has business skill. And there's authority in his life because he's living a God-honoring life. Humble guy, he's not looking for praise. But he takes that administration gift and he just gives it to the kingdom. Sends me a spreadsheet with detailed info. I'm amazed. So in some times in the Western world, in order to make children feel good, they give everyone a prize. So everyone gets a trophy, no matter what you did. Now those kids grew up and they become what we call millennials. Millennials. Just say millennials.
Millennials.
It's a generation.
Millennials.
The guys who are like 30 years old now, 25, 30. These guys.
There's one.
In America, they don't want to work.
In America, they stay yes.
Because they got their prize without working before.
When
they were at school, they got a badge just for coming to class.
A little ribbon on a wall.
They've got the wrong attitude. That's not how the kingdom of God works. You don't get a badge just for coming to church. But when you go out there in the world, and you do something for the glory of God, where you come here and you find something to add your time, your energy, your heart into, then you've got a trophy waiting in heaven. I need to wrap this up, but there's a story in the Bible of the inheritance being allotted to Israel. The guy that's most impressive is not Joshua, who took Israel into the promised land. The guy that impresses me is Caleb. Because he was with Joshua and the 12 spies when they first saw the land.
And
he saw something of his inheritance waiting there. And he had to wait another 40 years. And now he was much older. But you know what he said to Joshua when they went in the second time? He said, God has kept me alive. It's been 45 years. And now I'm 85 years old. And I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me.
He saw
an inheritance and he waited 45 years, but he kept himself ready. He says, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. And then he says, now give me this hill country. Let me go fight those giants. The area is called Hebron. Caleb said, give me my inheritance. And he went up and he possessed it. That's the kind of courage I want in your heart. I want you to say, God, where is my inheritance? And I'm
going
to go and I'm going to take a hold of it. In my personal life, God started stirring desires in my heart when I was about
18-19
years
old.
I started to push towards those things. Sometimes I pushed too hard in my own ignorance, my own immaturity. I wanted the glory without the character. I wanted the position without the price. I got rebuked many times by church leaders. God prepared me. It actually took about 15 years. though it was in my heart to lead in the church, I think I only got ordained as a shepherd about 15 years later. You must play a long game. Trust God. He has great things for you to do. Don't be passive, prepare, aim at them. In 1 Timothy 3:1, it says this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. That's a trustworthy statement. If you aspire to the task of overseer, to the office of overseer, that's the caring for God's people. Becoming a shepherd. Or maybe even your training ground is being a home group leader. You desire something noble, something worthy. What are you desiring? If it's empty in that place, go before God and work out how you can actually see your inheritance. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this congregation. Raise up leaders, Lord. Make us strong and courageous like Caleb. Help us to see with eyes of faith. And prepare us, Lord, that we can volunteer and give ourselves to your purposes. And for your glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Tudzu just needs to